we'd like to take your program and look on the back. You'll see where we're going to go. I'm just going to take maybe 2 or 3 hours here and share with us a few thoughts. No, I'm really not. I'm going to try to keep it here brief and just share with us a few thoughts. All these songs just communicate that Jesus came so we could have a right relationship with God. And even though we're not born with a right relationship with God, we can have one through Jesus Christ. But many of us do not submit to these truths. And that's why God gave us His law. You see, God gave us His law so that every one of us would become speechless before God. I don't know if you, John Baker, I don't know if you're able to get the PowerPoint up for me here. I don't know if, is there any speed trap towns here in Salt Lake City? Is there any speed trap towns? Is the whole town a speed trap? I had a friend, he was going through a town in northern Wisconsin, and he was coming down a hill and he saw an officer going the other direction. So what do you do when you see an officer going the other direction? I mean, he looked at his rearview mirror and looked at his speedometer, you know, that simultaneous thing, and he realized he was going about 15 miles over the speed limit, and he looks in the rearview mirror and he sees the brake lights come on the police cruiser, but he doesn't know for sure that he's going to get pulled over. The lights aren't going on top, and so what does he do? He floors it. He kind of rounds the corner, he takes the first right-hand turn, and he goes all the way down this street at T's. He takes a right-hand turn, and he goes all the way down this street, pulls in the last house on the right-hand side of the street. Can you imagine being in the car with him? Bead of sweat, breath shallow, heart pounding. He's kind of sitting there. Finally picks up the keys to put them back in the ignition, and he looks down the street, and here comes the police car. He's not in a hurry. The lights aren't on. He's not really speeding down the road. He's just slowly coming down, and my friend's like, oh, man. And he's like, he's thinking, you know, and then he realizes it's 5 o'clock. It's time for people to go home. My friend Jim parked at the policeman's house. He gets out of the car and the policeman looks at him and goes, what are you doing in my house? Jim's like, I don't know. He was speechless. He was caught. In fact, that's what the law does. The law makes us speechless before God, because the law shows us just two things that we're going to see tonight. The law shows us that we're not born with the right relationship with God, and the law shows us we can only have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He uses this phrase. He says, you're not born with the right relationship with God. In fact, he uses this word in here. It's called righteousness. Do you know that only God is righteous? You see, righteousness is that holy standard that God has set up to have a right relationship with Him, and only God has fulfilled all righteousness. Only God has kept everything that God keeps. Only God is righteous. And so he says this, he says, God's righteous, we are not righteous. In fact, if you're looking in your copy of the Bible, you'll see in Romans 3 verse 10, and you'll see it on that card on the back. He says, for there are none, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. He goes on, he says, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Their throat is an open sepulcher. He says, every single one of us, none of us have attained to the standard that God requires. We've all done wicked things. We've used our tongue wickedly. I mean, that whole idea that the throat is a grave. I mean, just think about that. It's like something died and fell in your mouth. People use their tongues to hurt people. People use their mouths to slice people. I mean, even today, how many of you saw somebody else do something not so nice? Did any of you see somebody else sin? I mean, did anyone like drive with other sinners? Did a sinner cut you off? How many of you woke up next to a sinner? Don't elbow, okay? Just... I mean, how many of you took some sinners to school? How many of you got dropped off at school by a sinner, right? You see, it's so easy to see other people's sin. It's so easy to see other people's lack of righteousness. He says things like this: we've all gone out of the way, and their feet, they're swift to shed blood. Their feet are swift to express their anger. It's just none are righteous. It's just our general conduct. It's seen in our speech. It's seen in our behavior. And it's just summed up with an attitude. There's no fear of God before their eyes. It's just, I'm going to live my life for self. Isn't there a culture to the T? Isn't that our world? Life revolves around what? I mean, I saw a t-shirt. Enough about you. Let's talk about me. I mean, life is all about me. It's just summed up that there's no fear of God before our eyes. There's no submission to God. It's going our own way. And so what does the law do? The law says you do not have righteousness. But the law goes one step further. Because I think what can happen sometimes is some of us can almost be like, yeah. None of us are quite up to God's standard. But he flips it and he says, not only have you not obtained to God's standard, but you have chosen to go your own way. So verse 19 says this, you see in your handout, for we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be guilty, and every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So God's righteous, we are not righteous, we are actually guilty before God. He's saying, stop talking about your own goodness and admit that you've sinned against God. Have you ever noticed that we just don't like to think that we're sinners? I mean, really, we kind of have a highly inflated opinion of ourselves. I mean, I know a bunch of other wicked people, but me? I was just given a simple message from John 3, verse 16, and this was in Ohio. This was a number of years ago, and I just finished up the message, and I was walking out the door, and there's a 16-year-old boy next to me, and I said, hey, what'd you think of the message? And he goes, oh, that was a great message about Jesus, but I don't know what the big deal is, because I am not a sinner. I mean, he just said it like that. So I thought, really? I said, have you ever lied before? He goes, well, we have all lied before. I said, well, that makes you a sinner. He kind of just looked at me. He didn't like that. I said, well, have you ever stolen anything? He goes, no, I've never stolen anything before my entire life. I said, come on, you just admitted that you're a liar. I'm sure you stole something. He said, well, maybe a couple things. I said, so you're a liar and a thief. I said, do you know what Jesus did? Jesus took the Ten Commandments and he flipped them and he got to the heart. And he said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, whosoever shall look upon a woman, lust in the heart, hath committed adultery already. Now, he's 16. He looked at me and goes, really? I then said, and you know, the next one, he said, thou shalt not murder. He says, you hate somebody? Guess what? You're in danger. The same judgment as murder. And he goes, man, this one kid, I just can't stand him. And then it was like it clicked. And he goes, you know what? I'm kind of bad. I said, dude, that's what I've been trying to tell you. And you know what? We're all bad. We've all broken the law. We've all gone our own way. We've all sinned. And because of that, not only are we guilty, but we justly deserve the judgment of God. You see, God in his holiness, God in his righteousness, he alone is righteous. We are not righteous. And guess what? God pours his wrath out on unrighteousness. We justly deserve the punishment of God. Now what Paul does, that's the writer of Romans, what he does is he kind of explains something. He says, okay, God's righteous, we are not righteous, but the natural tendency to hear that I'm not righteous is I'm like, well, I gotta make righteousness. I gotta be righteousness. I better do something to get righteousness in my life. And what he does though, in verse 19, he told us that we're not, but in verse 20, he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We could say it this way, keeping the law never justifies, it only condemns. Or we could say it another way, keeping the law never takes care of my sin. So he says the law is simply there to show me that I am a sinner. The law is not some ingredients that I can mix up and create my own self-righteousness. The law simply is a mirror to tell me who I really am. How many of you thought you were better looking? And then you saw a picture? How many of you have ever thought, man, somebody photoshopped that bad? Because I know what I look like. I mean, look at me. I look good. You ever kind of got a sideway view, you know, from a picture? You're like, whoa, 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 you know? Can I tell you something? The camera don't lie. Can I tell you something? The law don't lie. The law is not something that you got to go, okay, I've messed up a lot in my life, right? Because remember, we're not righteous. You're not righteous. We're not righteous, right? We got that. I've used my tongue bad. I've broken the law. Oh, yeah, I'm not righteous. And then what happens is, okay, I had the bad life, and now I'm going to do better. You see, now since I broke those laws, I'm going to try to keep more laws to outweigh all the laws I broke, right? There was an old parable, and there's a man, he stole 1,000 pieces of gold, and he felt kind of guilty because that one act of stealing that gold. And he says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take 100 pieces of gold, and I'm going to make it into 10 groups of 10, and I'm going to find 10 people to give those 10 pieces of gold to. And he takes all day, and he picks and chooses, and he goes back home, and he just feels so good about himself because he only did one bad thing, right? And he did 10 good things, right? And every single one of us are like, you hypocrite. You know, isn't it amazing that here we are guilty before God, breaking his law left and right, and then we think, you know what, I'm just going to do a couple good things. It just doesn't make sense. In fact, in James, he said this, whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend at one point, he's guilty of all. Just a little bit. We're going to, on Friday, we're going to load up we got a semi and we got a trailer and we're going to drive to Denver. And can you imagine? I'm just like, you know, Wyoming, I'm tired of driving through it and I'm going to kick it down and I'm going about 120 in the semi and I'm cruising down. And what do you think's going to happen? There's going to be some trooper pulling me over and they all wear those hats in Wyoming and he's going to walk up and he's going to be like, now what's going on in here? You were like breaking major speed limit laws here. And I look at him and said, but officer, I have not committed murder today. He just looked at me. And sir, this is my truck. I did not steal it. He'd look at me. You know what he'd do? He'd say, what have you been drinking? He'd say, get out here and walk this, because it doesn't make sense. And yet, why is it that we think in religion that somehow it was like more good than bad? And yet, he just said, no, it's not about you doing more good and bad. It's about you understanding that you can't do good. I think that even in our goodness, it's so stained with sin. Have you ever, well, I'll tell you another story. I was talking to a guy in Tampa. And as I was talking to him, he said, you know, well, I'm a really good guy. So I just went to Exodus 20. And we just read through the law. And I said, keep this perfectly. Tell me tomorrow how you did. He comes back the next day and goes, you set me up. I can't keep the law. I said, no, that's really what I wanted to show you. And he said, you know what's so amazing? Not only did I break the law, but even when I kept the law, I was filled with pride and I couldn't wait to tell you about it today. Do you know that we just have a moral incapacity to keep the law? And the purpose of the law is not to outweigh our evil. The purpose of the law is simply to show us that we're sinners. But do you know why we're so addicted to religion? We're addicted to religion because somehow religion conjures up an idea that I do a bunch of good so that God likes me. I do a bunch of good so I can earn my way. One man was talking to a lady and he was explaining to her just from the Bible that salvation is of God. Salvation is grace. It's a gift of God received by faith alone. So grace through faith alone. She goes, grace through faith alone? He goes, yeah, grace through faith alone. She goes, now grace through faith alone. And he's like, yeah, grace through faith alone. And she just was contemplating and then she said, then I don't want it. And she said it really well, because then there is nothing that he cannot ask of me. We love religion because ultimately, in religion, I'm the Savior. True biblical Christianity is just saying, I'm not the Savior, I'm the sinner. I need a Savior. You said the law simply tells us we are not born with the right relationship with God. You see, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no person, no flesh be justified. That word justified is really the verb of righteousness. Remember, God is righteous. I do not have righteousness. Keeping the law will never make me righteous. By the deeds or the works of law, no person is going to be declared as righteous in his sight, for simply the law is the knowledge, by the law is the knowledge of sin. The second point, we're almost done. We can only have a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, what he does is, let me just read it for you. He says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. I love that word, but it's a great conjunction. I mean, he tells us, I mean, if you were to read Romans, and in fact, it could be that some of you here tonight, you're thinking, well, I don't know if I really buy what you're saying. I don't really know if I like what you're saying. Well, perhaps what you could do tonight is you could take your own copy of the Bible and you could just read Romans 1 all the way up. And let me tell you something. Those first three chapters are quite discouraging, because Paul says, guess what? The ungodly, they're going to get judgment. And then he goes, the religious, they're going to get judgment. And in Romans chapter 3, what we've been talking about right now, he says, and you are all unrighteous. But verse 21 says this word, but. It's like the doctor calls and he says, I've got bad news. You have got cancer. But it's very treatable. I got bad news. Your car is totaled. But everyone's okay. We all are wicked. But the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. You see, God is righteous. I am not righteous. I cannot create my own righteousness. But he's starting to tell me that I can somehow have God's righteousness if I will believe. Believe what? Well, believe that my sin keeps me from having a right relationship with God. So the next verse he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In some ways, some of us would say, is he just going full circle? I don't think so. I think the first one was like, hey, guess what? We're all unrighteous. Guess what? We all are wicked. And we're like, yeah. But now what he's starting to do is he's reminding us, he's saying now, but you personally, for all have sinned. Every single one of us have broken his law. But it's not just that we've broken the law. We have not obtained to the glory of God. We've not come up to God's standard. And what that does is, there's some of us that come in here and we're full of self-righteousness and religion, and all of a sudden what he does is he just levels all of us, doesn't he? I mean, here I am the preacher tonight. Can I tell you something? You know what that verse does? That verse says that, Will Galkin, you are a sinner. None of us can come in here thinking I got it all figured out. But you know what else it does? It's a big comfort, because I think sometimes people come in something like this and they're kind of like, you know what? I'm so bad, and look at all these nice people, and they're probably all perfect, and you know what he's doing? He's saying, guess what? We're all bad, we're all sinners, and we all need grace. Have you ever understood that you're wicked and need grace? I was talking to a friend of mine, long story, so I'll make it short. He basically, friend, has a boy, really messed up, has to go to Narcotics Anonymous, and one of the steps, he's got to talk to a member of the clergy. They call me up. They said, are you a member of the clergy? I said, well, I'm an ordained pastor. They said, you'll do. I said, okay, great. I said, do you mind me sharing Christ? He goes, that's why we called you. And so I just listened. This kid sat down, and I think that he must have thought it was like a confession or something, because about an hour and a half, he's just talking about all the bad things he'd done. And, you know, like, we went out here, and we stole this, and we drank this, and we burnt this down, and then we hit this person, and we did that. I mean, I'm just going, whoa, you know, and it's just this long story, and I'm just finishing up, and I'm just listening as he's finishing up, and then he kind of gets done. He goes, so what do you think? I said, are you a sinner? He goes, what do you think I was just telling you? I said, do you want God to forgive you of your sin? And this kid goes, you mean God would forgive somebody like me? I said, God loves forgiving someone like you. You see, Pharisees never get saved, but sinners do. Believe what? Believe that my sin keeps me from having a relationship with God. In fact, you could say it this way. I have a debt I cannot pay. I have this sin debt I cannot pay. I cannot do more righteousness to cover my sin. Believe what? Believe that my sin keeps me from having a right relationship with God, but believe that my sin can only be removed through the finished work of Christ. And we're just going to give ourselves two word pictures to help cement this and help us to understand this. So he tells us, he says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so we could say it this way. So believe what? Believe that I have a debt that I cannot pay, but believe that Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. You see, these words, being justified freely by his grace, that word justified, remember, that's the verb idea of righteousness. So God is righteous. I am not righteous. I can't justify myself. I can't make myself righteous, but somehow I can have God's righteousness, or he says it here, I can be declared as righteous freely. I mean, where's my works in that? Being justified freely by his gift, by his grace. How? How is it that God, who sees my sin, who's going to judge my sin, who's righteous and I'm not righteous, how can I be declared as righteous? Through redemption. That is in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. Redemption. There was a transaction when Jesus died. I mean, do you like gift cards? Christy and I got a gift card to a Chinese restaurant. It was $50. Now, when you get a gift card for $50 to a Chinese restaurant, you're thinking, we can go two or three times until you realize it's P.F. Chang's. And then you're going to go one time, right? And so we kind of saved it up because most evenings were in services like this. And so we didn't go for about a year. And then all of a sudden it worked out that on Valentine's Day, we had the night off. And so this is in Arizona. And so we just said, let's go. And so we're all excited. We drove about 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And finally we get to the P.F. Chang's and we walk up. It's on Valentine's Day. And the lady's got the nice clipboard. And she's like, so what's your name? I'm like, well, Will. She goes, what's your last name? I said, Galkin. I thought, man, they're friendly. And she's looking at the list and she's like, you don't have reservations. She said, it's like Valentine's Day. She kind of gave me that, duh. We don't get out much, right? So it's going to be 50 minutes. You know, kind of like I should be mad. You know, she did the preemptive anger, you know, thing. And I was like, and Christy and I are looking at each other. We're like, who cares? We got a babysitter. Awesome. All right. So we go next door and get some coffee and wait for the buzzer to go off, come back, and we're having such a great time. I mean, here we are, P.F. Chang's, and we're just eating, and we're in love. I mean, we're like eating, it's good. I mean, it's good food, it's good fellowship, we don't get out much, this is great. We're having a great time. We're having such a great time that when the server comes and gives me the bill, I reach into my pocket and I pull out our credit card. And I hand him the credit card so that when I finally, I go home and I reach into my other pocket, there's the gift card. I pull it out. Do you ever call yourself names? You see, when I try and I live my life trying to work for or earn my own salvation, I'm just charging to my own hurt. Jesus, he paid for the price of our sin. He paid the redemption. You see, to going back to that verse, being justified freely by his gift, by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I have a debt I cannot pay, and Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. But the second word picture is this, that Jesus endured a punishment he did not deserve. You see, because of my lack of righteousness, I deserve the wrath of God. I justly deserve God pouring out his just wrath on my unrighteousness. But Jesus Christ, whom God sent forth to be a propitiation. What a great word. Do you know what that simply means? It just means that Jesus satisfied the wrath of God. I mean, you ever gone and you're eating, your mouth's on fire, and you gotta get some bread or some milk. You gotta have something that absorbs that heat. And Jesus Christ, he becomes that holy umbrella, the wrath of God pouring from heaven. We deserve it. We've broken the law. We've gone astray. We've done our own thing. We've done everything we should not do. And yet Jesus, he gets in the way of the wrath of God. When I think of wrath, I think about a locomotive. We were parked once in our trailer by a train, closer than the back wall, and there it goes by 2-3 times a day, 50 miles an hour. And it's pretty exciting to have a train in your backyard for a day, right? But you know, my main concern was not even the noise. I've got small kids. I don't want them stepping out in front of that train. And I think if somebody walked down from that train, you know, they would not even be able to slow that train down 1 millisecond. And you know that God's wrath is so vast and so intense that he pours out on sinners. Boy, this isn't quite the popular subject that our culture likes to hear, is it? But the holiness of God is real. And God pours out his wrath on the ungodly. But do you know what makes it so amazing? Is that Jesus Christ does step onto the tracks of time, and he does take the wrath of God for us. And Jesus can absorb the wrath of God because Jesus is God. You see, if Jesus was just like us, he too would be plowed over by the wrath of the Father. But because, as he said in John chapter 10, I and my Father are one. Jesus can take all of God's wrath because Jesus is God. You see, my sin is so great. I deserve the judgment of God, but Jesus took it for me. And you know, to receive that gift is simply as the brain understanding the claims of Scripture. And I think there's a stirred upness in the heart. God made us to have affections. And it's like a realization that there's a mighty God who I've offended, and a sorrow of sin, and really an attraction or a joy towards Jesus that causes me to confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. You know, I get some pretty neat opportunities traveling. And I was in Idaho Falls. That's just a little bit north of here. And there was a couple after the service, and they came up to Pastor Wood, and they said, can we talk to that guy? Because they had actually gone home and come back. We got to talk to that guy because we'd never heard how we could have a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. I said, sure. And so I came out of our fifth wheel trailer, and we met in a little room, and we started talking. And this couple, they just basically confessed. They said, you know what, we try to be pretty good, but we're just figuring out we can't be good. And we went through this whole gospel again, how God is holy, we're not holy, how Jesus took our place. And they said, well, how do we get it? I said, well, it's not words said, but many times a confession with the mouth just as a repeat of what's going on in the heart. And if you believe this to be true, and God's at work in your heart, why don't you ask Jesus to be your Savior right now? It's so precious just hearing this couple just cry out to God and ask him to be their Savior. You know, I believe, it could be that this isn't the first time you've heard this. It could be that God's at work in your heart. It could be, as we just bow our heads in a moment, that we take some time of silence, that that you would right here, I mean, you understand it, God's at work, and you'd just be like, I'm a sinner that needs Jesus. It could be, though, that you're here and you're like, I've got some questions. I want somebody to show me how to know Jesus. What we're going to do here in moments, I'm going to have us bow our heads, and I'm just going to pray, and then I'm going to stop. I'm not going to finish the prayer, and I'm going to walk to the back, and if there's anyone here that you'd like to spend some time just talking about how you can have a personal relationship with God, just leave your chair and just join me in the back, and we'll make sure somebody takes some time to show you how to know Christ. It could be that even on the way out, as we are dismissed in a moment, that you'd want to just grab me and say, hey, let's talk, or one of the other pastors, Pastor Jared or Pastor Matt, or even my wife who's playing the violin, just say, hey, can I talk about how to know Christ as my own personal Savior? Or you know what? It could be that this all clicks, God's at work in your heart, and you trust Christ. Just tell one of us and say, I did that. I really did just ask Jesus to be my Savior tonight. Let's bow our heads.